The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene. How are you?
Well, I'm still in recovery after watching what I think was trying to masquerade as a U.S. presidential debate last night.
What was that?
It certainly wasn't a debate. I have had people weighing in saying maybe it was a debacle. I have words for it, but can't say it lightly on family radio.
It was a something. Listen, Rolene, before we talk about the latest COVID updates from Israel and the restriction lockdown regulations, I just want to extend my condolences to you and all the other ladies of Witso around the world on the very sad loss of one of your executive members, Lorraine Rosmarin. Really, just, it's something that's affected me very badly personally because I was very, very fond of her. She was a wonderful lady, and I just wanted to extend that to you.
You know what? That is so beautiful and so appreciated by us all. Anyone who knows Lorraine, who was the past president of Witso South Africa and much loved by all of us around the world, from Israel to India to the US to everywhere in between, she was the epitome of a mensch, a gentlewoman, and will truly, truly be missed by all of us. And we extend our condolences to her family and friends, and to you guys at Chai FM. I know she served on your board, and may her memory be for a blessing.
No, absolutely. All right, Rolene, let's talk about Israel lockdown updates. My children are feeding me information, which I can't quite believe that Israel might be looking at another month and a half lockdown.
Well, this is it. At the moment, we are looking at extending the lockdown to at least a month, or at least until we get our infection rate and mortality rate down by 75%. We're still waiting for Professor Gamzu to reveal his plans to get or to take us out of lockdown. He said he will be doing that momentarily. But as we allegedly go into Sukkot, I wouldn't know because we're not allowed to go anywhere, we have a record high of mortality per capita and infections. And one of the issues that is up for contention right now is the fact that there will be mass gatherings for Sukkot in some of the ultra-Orthodox suburbs and cities after this has expressly been told not to. The other big issue of contention was the issue of protests last night. The Knesset passed a law saying that protests can only be limited to 20 people. Now, some say that this flouts the right or the democratic right for people to express their opinion and have taken this to the High Court. The High Court said that they will not overrule any ruling by the government just yet with regards to protest. But we really are in a quandary. Our health care system has said that, you know, they are adding additional beds, and but really, people have to respect the lockdown laws. I was really, really outraged to see that over the weekend, while many of us were observing lockdown and observing Yom Kippur, some 4,000 people were fined by the police for flouting these lockdown laws during the time of Yom Kippur. So a lot of frustration in the country, especially amongst business owners who really want to get people working, businesses up, the economy up again, and for parents, because it has been announced that it is unlikely that schools will reopen until possibly December.
You know, with all the hardship, there are so many opportunities for us to change what really wasn't serving humanity. You know, as you're talking about schools, about it's just, anyway, Rolene, I don't want to run out of time. Can we talk about Bibi's United Nations General Assembly speech?
Let's talk about the speech, because every year Israelis gather before our TVs to watch our favorite sporting event, which is Bibi at the United Nations. Now, you can't take away, whether you like or loathe him, the one thing we have to give the Prime Minister is that is his real house, is when he speaks before the nations of the world or the leaders of the world. And every leader who is a member state of the UN gets to address the General Assembly. And did he bring props, Kathy? I hear you asking.
This is exactly what I was going to. What did he bring?
And what props they were. Well, first of all, he spoke about the normalization treaties and gave thanks to President Trump. And one thing we have seen bear fruit is we've heard from both the UAE and Bahrain give their speeches, and their speeches for the first time in their history ignored the issue of castigating Israel, speaking about the right of return, speaking about two states. So we are seeing a significant change in their attitude at the United Nations, which is a very, very good thing. But we were all waiting, you know, a journalist, we got the heads up from the government press office to say that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be revealing information about Hezbollah, and he did, with his limited time, and it was done by video conferencing. Somebody actually asked me why it wasn't at the United Nations. Well, a little thing called COVID. So they responsibly socially distanced. And as my lovely husband said, Iran must have gotten up and walked at least out of their lounges when he came on. But he gave very, very specific coordinates to where another possible blast could happen. He spoke about the blast that took a place in Beirut at the port just weeks ago, and he said that unless Hezbollah were reined in, and he actually appealed to the people of Lebanon, he said, Israel means you no harm, and you need to protest, you need to speak up, you need to make sure that Hezbollah, which is an Iranian proxy, is kicked out. And he spoke about a town called Jahan, and in Jahan there are gas stations, gas canisters, gas refineries, which are literally meters, and he was very, very specific about the meterage, more specific than anybody designing an apartment, Kathy, or at least a kitchen. He said that these are missile silos, and this could potentially explode, leading to untold tragedy. He then spoke about Iran. He spoke about the continued flouting of the Iranian nuclear treaty. He also took to task the United Nations Security Council for not doing anything. He called on the international world to stand with the USA by slapping down sanctions. And many were waiting to see whether or not he would address the issue of Palestinians, especially in light of the normalization treaty. And he did. He said that he is ready and willing to come to the table. He actually said that Palestinians no longer have the veto on how peace is discussed in the Middle East. They cannot make demands on right of return or capitals or borders that are unrealistic. And he said the Trump peace plan is very, very realistic, and he is prepared to negotiate. In fact, he'll meet them tomorrow if necessary. He's prepared to negotiate along the lines of the Trump peace plan. And then said, you know, as far as dealing with the Iranian threat is concerned, when Arabs and Israelis, and I actually quite love this, he said, when Arabs and Israelis come together to tell you to listen, he said, you need to listen. Quite telling words from the Prime Minister, and ended off his speech by thanking President Trump for the opportunity to make peace with Bahrain and with the UAE. And not only did he have props, but he had quite the background there of Jerusalem, the eternal capital, the capital of Israel, very strategic footage, and massive flags of Israel. So, you know, he really got the sense, and the speech was very well received by Israelis, that like him or loathe him, when it comes to the international stage, Prime Minister Netanyahu knows who he's speaking to. He knows his audience. He knows all eyes of the world are on him. And he made sure that his message was firmly, firmly received.
Very nice. All right, let's talk about Columbia University, but we don't have a lot of time, Ro, about this pro-BDS resolution that was voted in on Yom Kippur.
This is a travesty. This was put forward by the Student Council, a resolution supporting BDS. This is the first of its kind to be voted in by Columbia University. But what is really telling is when they decided to have this vote, and it was held on Thursday and Friday, when they knew that Jewish student representatives and voters wouldn't be present, and they made sure that this was passed during Yom Kippur. It's going to be very, very interesting to see if there are any ramifications coming out of when they decided to hold this vote, and if the vote is in fact valid and legal if you don't have all representatives of the student body who are allowed to vote present. And I have seen one of our experts here in lawfare, in BDS lawfare, say that this probably won't be endorsed by the faculty and by the president of Columbia University, but it's very, very telling, and it's an eye-opener as to how Jewish students are treated on university campuses, not just in the United States, but across the world.
Rolene Marks, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your insight that you share with us. And you will be back with Simon tomorrow. I wish you a wonderful evening.
Same Stay time, safe. Same place. You too, my care.
God bless. Bye. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report.